Hello, everyone. Welcome to Seacoast Church. So glad that we get to study the scriptures together. Do you like moving into a new house? Maybe not the process of moving, but do you like a new house? Well, Seacoast Manning just moved into a brand new building today. So let's welcome our friends at Seacoast Manning. We are so grateful for how God has been moving in that community, starting out with Pastor Jim, moving through Pastor Aaron, and now with Pastor Blaze. That's actually his name, the campus pastor at Seacoast Manning. His name is Blaze, and you can't help but be lit if you're Blaze. You can't help but set things on fire if you're Blaze. We could do this all day long. So grateful for how God is working at Seacoast Manning, and it's because of your generosity that we're able to do that. Everyday decisions to be generous in the kingdom of God goes further than you could think. So I just want to say thank you so much for your generosity. This weekend, we also kick off a brand new initiative. For years, we've been doing a project every year called Serve Day, where we get out in our community and serve. And the artist formerly known as Serve Day is now a new initiative called Love Where You Live. They will know that we are Christians by our love, and we love others well when we serve. And serving isn't a one-day thing, it's a lifelong habit. That's who we've always been as Seacoasters. And there are so many different opportunities to be his hands and feet in our communities. And we'd love for you to jump in on the fun. In the breezeway here and at our locations after this service or online at the link below, there are a myriad of opportunities where you can link your skills, your passion with a real need in your community. And I just want you to take a few moments today and say, man, how can I love where I live just a little bit more? Today we continue in our series in the book of John, picking up in John 3, 16 through verses 21. And I'd love for us to read God's word out loud together. You can get the notes on the Seacoast app. And in honor of reading God's word, if you're able, could we stand today? I love that God's word gives us life. I love that God's word, while we read it, it reads us. I'm grateful that there's hope found in the name of Jesus Christ. And today, I'm looking out at this room, and I see people, and I know you're going through some stuff, and I'm so honored that the answer is oftentimes more surrender to Christ. So I don't know what you're struggling with, but I do know that he is our hope. And it's with that leaning forward that we read God's unfailing word. John chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Y'all sound good. Y'all want to keep reading with me? Let's do this thing. Woo! The one verse y'all know, huh? For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only son. Okay, verse 19. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Evil? Who? Me? Maybe my neighbor, but me? Your deeds were evil. How many of us can confess that our deeds were evil? How many of us can confess that the devil didn't make us do it, we did it, and we liked it? Don't leave me out here by myself. No one else raising their hands? Okay. Let's go. Verse 20. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. Woo! Getting found out. Number one greatest fear. What if your sin got flashed on the big screen at church? Oh man, how fast would you run? I would run real fast. All right, verse 21. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the sight of God. Can we take a moment to pray for our nation? If you grab the hand of the person next to you, there's power in reading as one, and there's power in praying as one. And so let's take a moment to pray for our country. Father, this week, many of us woke up to a new understanding that our nation is at war. Father, we thank you for our brave service members who signed up to defend an ideal, and they were willing, before they knew it, to enter into whatever conflict in defense of our country. So we pray for every single service member deployed. We pray that you will keep them safe. We pray for our leaders as you've instructed us to pray. Would you give them wisdom, insight, and the knowledge of knowing when to fight, when to not? Above all else, Lord God, will you be king in our hearts and in our lives? As we turn our hearts and our attention to the reading of your word, would you pierce us where we need to be pierced for your glory? We pray these things in the mighty name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen, 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 amen. High five your neighbor and tell them, for God so loved the world. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whosoever believeth on him shall not perish but have everlasting life. How many of y'all went King James when we started saying John 3:16? I love that phrase, everlasting life. Who wants to have everlasting life in the room today? The best part about church is that we all came in desperate need of something. And today we get the opportunity of studying maybe, probably, by far the most popular verse in the whole Bible. You don't have to be a Christian to know that verse. I've heard that verse, seen it on a jersey, heard some athlete sweating, saying it out loud to somebody in some sort of interview. But I believe today, as we put that one verse in context, God has got something pretty special for us. Because John 3:16 is amazing because it's a standalone verse. What do you mean by that? It don't need no help. It don't need a bass track, don't need lighting, don't need the guitar playing softly behind it. The verse itself gives hope for us all. But while John 3:16 is a standalone verse, it's also a setup for the next few verses that we're going to be looking at today. So while John 3:16 is a whole word in and of itself, I was talking to Derek Goulette. He's on our parking team. He said that the church he was at in California spent 8 weeks just studying John 3:16. And we could spend that long on that one verse because it's a standalone verse. It's also a preamble to the next few verses that we're going to look at today. Who remembers memorizing the preamble of the Constitution? Y'all remember that? We the people, United States, in order to form a more perfect union, you know, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare. Oh man, second grade in San Diego, California, I memorized that thing and it's still here. And so while John 3:16 is amazing and it gives us hope, it's a preamble statement to the next few verses. And so today, I want to see it in context that can help us have freedom. So let's review for a second where we've been. So we've been studying the book of John for the last, I don't know, 6, 7, 8 weeks since the start of the new year. John chapter 1, if I had a heading on that, it would be the Word became flesh. The Apostle John, who wrote the book of John, is letting us know that Jesus is the fulfillment of all the scriptures, all the Old Testament. He's helping us understand that we can do one of two things. You got to be perfect in the law or know one man. One of my mentors told me, he's like, Joel, knowing the right person is more valuable than 2 degrees from Harvard. Have you ever had someone at your job show up and they don't have the degrees you got? They don't have the qualifications you got, but they knew somebody and they got in a spot because they knew somebody? How many of us are so grateful to God that because we know somebody, we get let into the kingdom of heaven? Come on. Come on. Come on. The word became flesh, John 1. John 2, popping bottles and flipping tables. Come on, somebody. Jesus is the life of the party. He comes into this wedding at Cana in Galilee. And the first miracle that we see Jesus reveal his glory is turning water into wine. We go from that scene to savage Jesus flipping tables. And then we scroll into John chapter 3, Nicodemus, Nick at night. A man who has it all, yet is still searching for more. Nicodemus, he's not just any old rabbi. He's not just a leader. Jesus even called him Israel's teacher. He was the man that knew it all, but yet he still was searching for something more. I love when Pastor Josh Walters last weekend talked about when the destination is the dead end. Ooh, that was such a good word last week. You got to go check that out. And so John chapter 1 is the Apostle John letting us know that Jesus is the only way. John chapter 2 is him sharing stories about Jesus and his response to what was going on around him. And then John chapter 3, we see Jesus giving hope to one man. And then he scrolls out and then the Apostle John is now speaking about Jesus and why he came. And so today, as we look in these five verses, we're just gonna see the hope of why Jesus really came. So let's start. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. He loved the world. That's pretty expansive. How many of us are grateful that God has an expansive love that doesn't know any bounds? He loves us so much that he gave his one and only son. I used to say this verse flippantly until I became a father. And I cannot understand the love he could have for me, the love he could have for you, when that required giving up his son to be the perfect spotless lamb for my sin. That's a love I can't understand. There's something powerful in understanding that you can't understand the bounds of God's love for you. That whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Whoever. Sometimes I think that there's some whatevers that God can't really forgive. You know, you got a list of stuff that you're like, can God really save them of that? That's sometimes why I don't pray for people I love and care about to receive the goodness of Jesus Christ. Because sometimes I believe that the whatever that they struggle with is bigger than the fact that he died for whoever. Believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. He didn't just save me, but he's resurrecting all of us. What a promise is that? So here's the first point today that I want you to think about. Salvation is simple. The hard part is surrender and submission. The way to salvation is real easy. The hard part is coming in with your hands up and the submission to say, where you go, I will go. A pull-up is a simple exercise. Does not mean that it is easy. A push-up is an easy exercise. You go down to the ground and you come back up. But that does not mean it. A marathon is a simple activity. You put one foot in front of the other until they tell you to stop. But that does not mean that it is easy. Salvation is easy to understand, but the hard part is doing the work of doing this. Let me tell you about my friend Richard Chen. I think we got a picture of him up on the screen. My friend Richard Chen is on the far left, big old smile. The love of his life is on the far right, Lady Allison. And that is actually Ken and Barbie getting married. They're just too beautiful. If you stare at that picture for too long, you're like, how are two people like that? They look like they're AI, okay? But I got to meet Rich just for a moment at this wedding. And then a little while later, I got asked to be a part of his funeral. A few months later. And I got a call from Pastor Mac Mood. Mac Mood has been a pastor at Seacoast for over 20 years. He leads our Johns Island campus. He's a legend. He loves the Lord. Every time I'm around Pastor Mac, I feel myself physically falling in love with Jesus more. Like, he's like that, like for real. And Rich, he has lived like five lives in one. He was born in Taiwan. He grew up in Hawaii. Because he was an outsider, people picked on him. So he turned to martial arts and boxing, became a black belt in Brazilian jiu-jitsu, an expert boxer. He joined the United States Army. He is a Harvard grad. Like, he's got so many things. If I keep telling you, like, is he the most interesting man alive? He just may be. But he could not understand that Jesus was the only way. He traveled the world and saw so many religious systems, met so many good people. He's like, there's surely not just one way to God. And that held him back from the kingdom. But as Rich got older, the thing he always relied on to be reliable, his body, started failing him. He started having kidney issues. Through a happenstance chance of events, he got to meet Pastor Mac. They became friends, and then he got sick. And one day, Mac Mood comes to visit Rich Chen. Smart guy, talented guy, Harvard grad. And in the hospital room, Rich decided to give our very own Pastor Mac Mood the business. You can't really believe that Jesus is the only way. How exclusionary is that? What about the other people who believe that? And he just goes in with Mac, and Mac is sitting there, and he's like, how do I compete against Harvard when I'm just Mac? And he just started praying in the Holy Spirit. You know, one Holy Spirit trumps Harvard. You know that, right? And so, and if you went to Harvard, just email me. It's gonna be okay. It'll be fine. And so he starts praying. And the Lord says, talk about his pride. Talk about his pride. And he's like, hey, man, I don't know why, but while you were talking, I was praying for you. And I think your issue with Jesus is just a matter of pride. And it stops Rich in his tracks. He kicks everyone out of the hospital room except for Pastor Mac and says, I need to surrender my heart to Jesus. I need to surrender my heart to Jesus. And that one act made him go from death to life. John 3:17, for God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned. My daughter asked me, what does condemned mean? It's like when a judge condemns you to jail. The judge has the power to keep you free or lock you up, and he casts you away. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. Jesus didn't come to condemn. You already had a death sentence. God didn't come to condemn you. God's never condemned you. Jesus didn't condemn you. He came to step into something you were already sentenced to. But the problem is that we love our death sentence. The problem is we love our sin. Have you ever seen somebody hang out, play with something that is deadly and you're like, why are they playing with that? Sometimes my wife and I, we be watching the news and we see, you know, lone hiker in Colorado with no cell phone is found missing and they're trying to find him. And sometimes we're like, man, we're praying for the person who's missing. But then I'm also like, why are you hiking in Colorado without a phone, without a gun, without a dog? Like, why are you doing that? And then sometimes I'll look over at my wife and my wife will say this phrase. I don't say the phrase. My wife will say the phrase. Not me, but her. And so I'm going to invite my wife, Kelly Matthews Delf, up on this stage. Because she's going to say the phrase that I don't say. Could you give it up for my wife? Harding grad, marketing, homeschool mom, 4 kids. She does not like being on stage. This is not fun. She likes people, but not this many people. So when we be watching the news, what's that one phrase that sometimes I'll look over at you and we see something crazy? What's that one phrase that you say, I don't say it, that helps explain some of the crazy stuff in the world?
That's white people stuff.
To be clear, I don't say it, she says it. So when we see someone climbing up a skyscraper just with chalk in their hands, when they have access to a rope, she'll say, I don't say it, she says it. When we see someone who has a pet alligator, fun fact, I said that at my house as a joke, and she starts laughing. She goes, you know, my mom did have a pet alligator growing up. Louisiana, baby, come on, let's go. When you see someone playing with something they shouldn't be playing with, like a pet tiger. Actually, this is black people stuff because Mike Tyson. We'll keep it 100. That's black people stuff too. We all got our stuff. Sometimes it's easy to culturally see into someone else's stuff. Like you see their stuff, but they don't see their stuff. And here's why. Here's why. Because our stuff doesn't look like a tiger. It looks like a kitten. Look at this kitten. It's so cute. And it's cute. And sometimes when sin comes into our life, it comes in like kitty form. I mean, I'm a planner. I don't have control issues. Like, I just like to be on top of things. I just like to know. There's nothing wrong with knowing. Like, being a planner is a good thing. I don't have control issues. And then control grows into selfishness, grows into, if I can't see the end from the beginning, I ain't gonna take a step. And then before you know it, when scripture tells you to walk by faith and not by sight, your control issues have become this big old thing that's on your shoulders. And when you say, I think I'm in control of my control issues, but if you got a pet tiger, who's really in control? You are one missed meal away from being the meal. The problem with our sin is we all think we can control it. The problem with our sin is we all think we can conceal it. And sooner than later, everyone sees your stuff, but you've made friends with this pet tiger, and you don't even know that death is at your doorstep. Death is at your doorstep. He cheated on me. She cheated on me. Well, y'all were doing something you shouldn't have been doing in singleness. And so you were setting a standard while having a compromised lifestyle, and then you get hurt and then wonder why. Because sometimes we make friends with our sin and we wonder why it is killing us. Why? Because we've been condemned already apart from the love of Jesus. But I'm so grateful to God that when Jesus sees our sin, he doesn't condemn us. He says, I can handle that. Give that to me, I can handle that. John chapter 3, verse 19. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. Their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the sight of God. I love John chapter 21, and I really do believe that John 3:16 is a setup for John chapter 3, verse 21. Because here's the thing, salvation comes in a moment, but coming into the light is a continual process of letting God in every single area where darkness lives. That's why sometimes we live in partial freedom and wonder, did Jesus not pay it all? Yes, he did, but he wants you to surrender it all continually. Here's the last point. The exposure you're fearing leads to the healing you've been searching for. There's power in confessing every single thing to the light of Christ. Letting him in every single room and saying, you know what, God? I've made friends with this. And you know what happens? Sometimes you think you're confessing this. Oh, and he helps you see this. Side note. Do you like the fact that I've made the living personification of evil a Clemson Tiger? I didn't say that. I'm just kidding. I just planned to play. But we made friends with sin, and we think that our stuff looks like this. This is why we got a paragraph explanation for all our stuff, yet we got no grace for anybody else. Oh, if they would just fix themselves like this. And we can see the line with everyone else, and we don't even realize and we got one on our back as well. This guy named Zacchaeus. The tiger on his back was that he had made money the god of his life. It had ostracized him from his own people. It had made him wealthy at the price tag of him being cast away. If you wanted to really cuss someone out in Jewish times, you would say you are a tax collector. Woo! That was the biggest four-letter word they had. Maybe even today, I don't know, I'm just saying. But Luke chapter 19, we see Jesus coming towards Zacchaeus, and Zacchaeus in and of himself walks into the light by exposing all his stuff. That's what he said. But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, look, Lord, here and now, it's wild who calls Jesus Lord when they see him coming and they see him for who he really is. Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I've cheated anybody out of anything, he was an accountant, he had a ledger, he knew exactly who. And if I've cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount. He surrendered his money to Jesus. He surrendered his thing to Jesus. I don't know what yours is, but would you surrender it to Jesus? And then Jesus responds this. Jesus said to him, salvation has come to this house. Why? When you surrender everything to Jesus, there's a ripple effect in people all around you. There's a ripple effect of your faith that people will be like, I don't know why I'm getting blessed now, because you're in it. There's a ripple effect of your decision to surrender it all. Why? Because your sin is viral and it's holding the closest people around you back. But Jesus says, today salvation has come to this house because this man too is a son of Abraham. Is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. Jesus is on this relentless path to find you. But if we're afraid of letting him into everything, we're holding ourselves back from real freedom. My dad grew up in the kind of like the silent generation. Like, I knew my dad loved me, but he probably told me like 5 or 6 times in his life. He one of those guys that like, I tell you I love you by the fact that you got food and you got housing and you got the stuff. And I just want to let you know that, like, legitimately, I love being a tiny, small voice in your life. Tiny, small voice. You got a lot of voices in your life. And it's the honor of my lifetime, of my family's lifetime, to be a part of the kingdom of God at work in Seacoast. And the thing that, if there's something I would want for you and for my life even more, just let God in. 7 days a week. Let God in into every area of your life. Do you know you can let God in the middle of your stuff? Hey, God, I've made friends with this thing. And I really like it because it's cute. Is this even good? Because sometimes you deceive yourself into thinking that it's just a kitty when it's really a roaring tiger. And confession to God continually helps us understand the gap that we're living in, the dependence we need for Him, and the freedom of what happens when the Spirit of God calls our stuff out. And so, for some of us today, you've never given your life to Jesus because you just think it's a spiritual thing, and you just say, if I believe in Him, there's nothing else required, and I guess I like Jesus. Maybe today, the simplest thing you need to do is say, I surrender it all. For some of us, we believe that the work of Jesus was done one time in our life. I gave my life to Christ Jesus 20, 30 years ago. And you're forgetting the fact that He still wants to sanctify you. And the confession of your stuff is how He comes into every single room. And here's the crazy part. If you don't know of the stuff I'm talking about yet right now, you got a tiger on your back that's seeking to kill and destroy you. Because until we get to heaven, God's still got work in us. And so I would just love to take a moment to pray that in every area of your life, you will let the light of Christ into your heart. Father, I thank you so much for my family. I thank you so much that you've healed some things in my life through this house. Areas of my life that I never thought would be healed have been healed in this house. Friendships I never thought I could have, you've given me in this house. The way you've blessed my family and my children, thank you. I pray, Lord God, for all of us today, would you allow us to let you in every single room? We pray these things in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.